Have you ever tried to read the Bible the entire way through Genesis 1:1 and on through Revelation 20? If you have, how far did you make it? Typically, when I do this, I make it to the book of Numbers. And then the seemingly unending lists, names, dates, facts, instructions, everything else you could possibly imagine in respect to the life of the people of Israel, proves to be a little distracting, to use a euphemistic term. And so what do? I go to other parts of the Bible that are easier for me to read than these long, long lists of names. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, sometimes it can be helpful to read the Bible out of order. I'd go so far as to say we should at times read the Bible out of order. And I do that in order to affirm our dean of chapel, who has us doing that very thing this week. Yesterday, we heard a marvelous sermon from Pastor Dreyer from Matthew chapter 10. I will send you out like sheep among wolves. And as he noted, what better way could you advertise the seminary to Christ Academy and Phoebe Academy students? Today, having heard the conclusion yesterday, we get the background. We get the backstory as to why you will be among wolves. Why you, as Christ's sheep, many of you to become shepherds, will find your life conformed to his, and you will find the wolves at your door. But within this text, we hear the Lord give the central reason. He says this: proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying. Give without pay. That sounds a little better than being sent out as a sheep among wolves. And that's the reason we need to back up even a little bit farther in the text. We heard at the beginning of this morning's reading, and Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. A lot of strong language there. All and every place and every kind of problem. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd, harassed and helpless. Certainly that describes many of us here today. We all have our harassments. We all feel helpless. But Christ our Lord is our good shepherd who has compassion upon us. And we are included among those who hear this gospel of the kingdom that is proclaimed. For he has gone into all of the cities, and not just the cities, all of the villages. He had gone into all the immediate Judean countryside, indeed setting the standard for us going into all the world. And while there, he had been preaching the good news about the kingdom of God, forgiveness of sins in his name, given freely as a gift, not with any merit or worthiness in us, but purely by the grace of God. And so, through his presence and his preaching, Jesus healed all sicknesses and all maladies. You hear the pattern. This is the pattern of what the disciples themselves would then do when the Lord appears to them and speaks to them these specific words in Matthew chapter 28. And Jesus came to them saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Jesus fulfills that in his own ministry, in his own person for us, and then prepares us, his followers, to proclaim that message into all the world. That is good news. Good news for me as a weak servant, an unwilling servant all too often, a rebellious sermon more than I would like to admit. But like you, I have done so and have confessed that failure moments ago. And we heard the gracious word of Christ, the preaching of the kingdom that is near to you right now, as the absolution was spoken and your sins were forgiven. And in that absolution, our baptisms were recalled. We stand by the font and speak that word, reminding us that the sign of the Holy Cross was placed upon our foreheads and upon our hearts to mark us as those redeemed by Christ the crucified. And now we prepare to approach his table. He has promised to be with us always to the end of the age, and he keeps that promise. And so we have the apostles named, the ones who will take that out initially, and they are sent out, cast out, indeed, and they are told that their ministry will be like Jesus' ministry. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse leper, cast out demons. You have received without paying, give without pay. It is all about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. It is all about what heals, raises, cleanses, and casts out. It is all about Christ. It is all about our Lord Jesus. And one of the great things about being a proclaimer of Christ is that we don't have to proclaim ourselves. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake, citing St. Paul. And whether this proclamation is the public preaching of the gospel by the called and ordained servants of Christ, or whether it is the proclamation of the good news through words and works of mercy by deaconesses, or whether it is sharing Jesus with a family member or friend, the gospel does its work, healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing those leprous from sin, and casting out the old evil foe. So is it all fun and games? Of course not. Indeed, just as the proclamation of the gospel to the ends of the earth is Christ's promise, so is his recognition that our lives will be conformed to his. His cross becomes our cross, and our lives take on the form of his life, a life of teaching, a life of reaching, a life of caring, all because of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, safeguard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.